Skills and jobs and entire careers turn over faster than they used to, and that makes job training more important as time goes by. We'll all get a bunch of it over the course of a working life now. Who trains the trainers? Lots of people, including one of our next guests. Jim Sorensen is sought after as trainer, facilitator, and speaker. He'll be the speaker at the Southern Oregon Business Conference next Thursday in Medford, and he's on the line with us from his home. Where do you live, in the Seattle area, Jim?
Yes, I live in Snohomish.
Okay, good to have you on the line. We also have with us Kathy Troutman, who is the Business Development Manager at SoReady, Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development, Inc., but I think SoReady is usually just plenty of a mouthful alone, isn't it, Kathy? All right. Kathy, thanks for joining us here today. Let's talk about the business development business and how it's going these days.
Very well. My role is reaching out to existing businesses, helping them prosper. The theme of our conference is Launch, Relocate, and Prosper. And so the theme, everything we do comes back to those three things. So Jim will be talking about specific to those three things, Launch, Relocate, and Prosper, and I'll talk about a little bit more about those later.
Is that meant to sound like Live Long and Prosper, Launch, yes. Relocate, and Prosper?
Yes, <Okay. laughs> absolutely.
And how different is the business of economic development or trying to boost business presence in a community over the years?
How different is it?
Yeah.
It's strong. We're in here in Southern Oregon, we're a very strong, active economic development company. We're doing a lot of good things. Ron Fox, our executive director, will talk more about that at the conference of some of the things we've done this last year in economic development.
I mean, is the business very different from what it was like 10 years ago, though, for example, or 20 years ago? I mean, given how much the business world seems to have changed over that time.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think as an economic development company, you have to be more active in everything.
Jim, you probably talk to a lot of business conferences. What's the message you often carry to them?
Mostly it's about risk, what's inherent in risk, and how to reduce risk.
In daily operations, or in choosing a place to locate, or all of the above?
All of the above. I mean, even in how we communicate to each other. What you were just talking about is the changes, and even the workforce changes. I just finished a talk on different generations, and just like I'm a baby boomer, and what creates loyalty in me is external security, but this new younger generation, they don't believe external security exists. So what creates for development, and because if you say to them, if you don't work on it, I'm going to take your job away, they go, okay, and tell me about Santa while you're at it. they don't believe it exists. So what works for them is development. They're getting new skill sets, new experiences, and that's what keeps them in the workforce. If not, Generation X has a two-year pattern. They'll stay long enough to get your name on their resume, get some new skill sets, and they'll start to shop themselves outside your organization, and you'll lose your best and brightest first.
So when you say development, they always want to be trained in new stuff. So this is where trainers like you who train trainers are important people, it sounds like.
It's a good time to be in the business.
No kidding. So who trained you and in what?
Well, I was trained about 35 years ago, and the man that trained me, he is kind of a pioneer in what they now call EQ, emotional intelligence. You know, so I was very fortunate in my 20s to have a great mentor.
Mm-hmm. And as the economy changes, though, and as you talked about the changes in the workforce now, I mean, how have you had to roll with those changes and had to adapt what you're saying to audiences?
Oh, I mean, an incredible amount. I mean, when I first started, you never saw a speaker without a suit on, because that was seen as a symbol of authority, of competence. And in the last year, I wore a tie once.
Really?
And that was in the Midwest with a blue-collar company, but it was run by an old baby boomer who still thought in those terms.
But by and large, the business suit is not required attire anymore.
Well, it's seen as old time. I was in New York City last month for a large brokerage firm, and they said, please don't wear a suit, and that's in the middle of Manhattan.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I want to talk to Kathy Troutman here again, the business development manager with SoReady. Given the changes that go on just within businesses, I mean, how much has that changed the way that you have to communicate with with businesses you're trying to attract, businesses that already exist that you're trying to assist in upsizing, that sort of thing.
Right. The biggest challenge, what I find as my role as business development manager, is a workforce in the area. It's, as Jim said, it's a changing workforce, and a lot of it is a workforce ethic. When they hire, they want the ethics that we're used to at our age. It comes natural, and they're not seeing it. And it's just the younger group, they have different demands than we did.
What kinds of ethics when you talk about it in those terms?
Well, I think that back 25 years ago, you felt happy to have a job. You were lucky to have a job. And now it's changed to where they kind of want more out of it. Sometimes the ethics are, you know, simply, I met with a business yesterday and they said sometimes it's just getting employees to show up for work. So I think it's a changed world.
Interesting. So for that matter, do you have to communicate differently to companies? I mean, given all the different ways that we can communicate with each other now, everything from, you know, you can still send mail via the post office, but
sure,
not many people do.
Right.
But then there's Twitter, there's Vine. I mean, you name it. There's just dozens of ways to communicate with people.
Correct.
And right. Do you use a lot of those in contacting businesses at So Ready?
I go out and meet with businesses. You know, we use it somewhat. We need that world, but I go out face to face and meet with businesses to find out what's going on in their world, what we can do to help. We're all about economic development. We want to make sure they're successful, and we can only do that if we sit down face to face and find out what challenges they're facing, and what we can help them with. Sometimes it's just aligning resources for them. And every time I go out and meet with a business, there's usually something we can sit down and talk about that we can offer them some assistance with.
Kathy Troutman is the Business Development Manager at So Ready, Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development, Inc., which holds the Southern Oregon Business Conference next Thursday, January 28th in Medford at the Inn at the Commons. Jim Sorensen will be the keynote speaker there. He joins us from Snohomish. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. As we talk about new ways to communicate with people, is that part of the message that you give, Jim? I mean, how to find people, how to talk to them, train them?
Well, I think what Kathy was talking about is so important these days because of how much we're on computers, how much we watch television, that most people's brains are set in a passive mode. And just like as an employer, as a speaker, I have to get them out of a passive mind mode into an active mind mode so they're actually present and working. And in my business, if you don't capture them very quickly, they're back on their phones and gone in a very short period of time.
Does that mean you have to tighten the message up a bit, I would think?
Well, tightening up is important, but also to actually engage them. They've actually proven in today's audience, if you do a lecture-style presentation, the average audience only retains 7 to 12% of the information after 48 hours, very low retention. So you have to get them actually engaged in like a Socratic process or where they're actually involved in some way.
So less lecture and more call and response or question and answer?
Yeah, question and answer plus some kind of an exercise where, especially this younger generation, they don't want a speaker that needs to be the smartest person in the room. They really want them to draw the intelligence from the audience so that they engage.
So does this mean the concept of authority is going by the wayside, where somebody knows more than you do?
Well, it's different. In my generation, authority meant the boss, and now authority is who has the expertise they need. So they have to really believe that my information, not because of my age, not because of how many years I've been doing this, but because the information I give them can actually help them today do what they do better.
Jim, I noticed somewhere you called yourself a classic introvert, so how in God's name did you end up speaking in front of large audiences?
I have no idea. But that was part of that mentor, is he said, I was doing sales for a training organization, and he said, I want you to start working with groups, and I thought he was insane. And one of the problems, see, introverts can do presentations. I mean, I've done presentations up to 1,800 people, but they're toast afterwards. So I just have to make sure I take good care of myself. But introverts can do social things, if there's a purpose. We suck at chit-chat, things like that. but if there's a real purpose involved, we can do, an introvert can do social things, but they need a purpose and then you need to replenish right afterwards.
Oh, a real task-based kind of thing then.
Yep.
Okay. So Kathy Troutman, in business development for existing businesses, I'm curious about the kind of support that SoReady gives.
So with existing businesses, we, like I said, I go out, meet face-to-face, find out. A lot of it's workforce training. So we work with Rogue Workforce Partnership, see if we can get them the proper training, whatever their needs are. It varies. Sometimes we meet with them and they're in expansion mode, and we can offer them some incentives. We have a loan program, SoReady loan program, if they're buying equipment or expanding. There's many, many. What I do is go out and listen to what their needs are, rather than just put a menu out there and say we do this, this, and this. I listen to what their needs are, what they're doing, and then offer them solutions.
So in the course of a week, how many different places are you going to go see people, and how many different faces?
It can go from five. Some weeks, my goal is to make 120 business call outreach calls per year. Uh-huh. So some, depending on the week, this week I'm concentrating on the Southern Oregon Business Conference. So I made 4 calls this week. So it varies. And it's fun. I get to do tours every week of businesses. They open their doors, they let me in, give a tour. So it's a great learning experience for me as well.
And how did you get into the field?
Well, I was a banker for 30 plus years and decided I wanted to try something completely different. So I talked to Ron Fox and we just decided to make it happen, and I love it. It's absolutely a whole new world for me, and I've really, really thoroughly enjoyed the economic development world and SoReady. It's a great place.
So what's the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning when you think about, okay, this is what I'm going to do today? I mean, aside from the weeks when you're preparing for the business conference.
Right. Getting up and knowing I'm going to meet with customers and hopefully help them in their business. That's my goal. If I can help a business succeed or do something better, that's my goal. That gets me up in the morning.
And what do you hear from them back these days when you visit existing businesses in particular about the greatest need that they have?
Again, it's workforce. Mm-hmm. That I hear that continually, either skilled in particular areas, engineering, software engineering, or sometimes just entry-level positions, getting them to have that work ethic. So we work with the school districts. We run industry tours every 3 months, and we invite educators to join us in visiting local businesses.
And you mentioned the Rogue Workforce Partnership. Is mm-hmm. that through Rogue Community College, or is it a couple of other different
things? It used to be the Job Council, mm-hmm. and they've combined, and now it's a Rogue Workforce Partnership. So we work closely with them, letting them know what skills are needed and what classes maybe RCC can offer to help businesses.
Is there something of a skills mismatch? You hear about the skills gap, or did quite a bit during the recession. Mm-hmm. About the fact that there were jobs open, just not the people who had the kind of training or expertise to be able to fill those jobs.
Right. Ron and I visited Oregon Institute of Technology at their business fair, and a lot of these young engineer, they want to move out of the area. We take information to them, letting them know the jobs we have available here. A lot of these young people don't know we have these high-tech jobs here, right here in Southern Oregon. So we're trying to educate them on that.
Coming back to Jim Sorensen, who'll be the keynote speaker again at the Southern Oregon Business Conference, hosted by SoReady next week. I saw your TEDx Rainier talk online. Your number one message. You're laughing. Was this something you're not proud of? It was good.
It was scared. It was being video streamed to so many people, and I felt myself more anxious before that talk than any talk I've done in a long time.
But they gave you a red carpet to stand on, I noticed.
They did. Yeah, it was nice.
The number one message there, though, was embrace reality. And it seems like that should be an obvious thing for a lot of people who run businesses and for their workers as well. But is that still a difficult one to get through?
Well, people want to embrace what they wish were true. So it's not what I wish was true, what should be true, but to really, to me, it's like orienteering. I was talking to this guy who is a professional orienteer, and he said, what do you think the most important part of orienteering is? And I said, I think I know where you're going. I think that's really important. And he said, you're wrong. He said, you got to know where you're at. He said, no matter how good your map is, if you don't know where you're at, you're lost. And so businesses and individuals tend to resist embracing some of the hard truths. I mean, if you think of people that start new businesses, uh, the 80% of new businesses fail within the first year and a half. And that's part of a reality people have to. So what am I going to do different than 80% of people? And so it's really not only embracing my own reality, but the business culture reality. And what I think Solready does so well is to prepare people to move through those risks and increase their likelihood of success.
Correct.
But so many people go in so idealistic, they aren't willing to embrace reality.
Well, so you can't change reality, but what do you change then about the approach to it?
Well, to me, what you're saying is most important. Not only do I have to change my approach, but I have to change my context on me and the environment. So I have to really be willing to, and I think what Kathy and Solready do so well is they help people not only embrace present reality, but to find a different way to look at it and different skill sets, different tools in order to be successful in as we've been talking about in today's marketplace.
So, Kathy Troutman, in your work as business development manager at Solready, are you partly in the business of bursting bubbles, letting people know what the reality is versus what they're hoping it is?
Yeah, we have what's called a sounding board. We have entrepreneurs come to the sounding board, and that's where they're able to let us know their idea. Sometimes it's raw, sometimes it's more advanced. It doesn't matter. And sometimes you have to be truthful with them. And sometimes we have just great ideas, but sometimes the ideas, they need help, and we need to be honest and let them know that. So I think we do a good job of that without, you know, taking the wind out of their sails, but also the reality part of it.
Coming to the sounding board sounds almost like going on Shark Tank or something.
Kind of. Sort of is.
Uh-huh. Really? Yeah. So these are people who've been down the road of entrepreneurship and have had
right.
some success. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Some experts we have. And they'll sit and listen. It's an hour every Wednesday. Sometimes we book three in an hour. But they have an entrepreneur has a chance to come in and let us know. Sometimes it's just a raw idea and they just want help. They need resources aligned. They don't know what to do next. And so we try and guide them on the next step.
Jim, in the process of dealing with business development and corporate training and things like that, and talking in front of audiences, what would you say has been the biggest surprise you've ever had talking to an audience?
I think the biggest surprise, just as you said, I'm an introvert. I thought people were a lot meaner than they are. the average audience wants to hear a good message. They want to learn something. And I think so many people, they see the audience as adversarial. But there was a company that did a study that the average audience, 30% of them, assume if you're up there, it's going to be a good message. And another 30% assume that you must know at least more than they do. And another 30% aren't even present enough to care. And then only about 10% really come to a presentation adversarial.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, at least you got 90% of the room neutral or on your side.
Exactly. So people are a lot nicer than I assumed they were.
Something really struck me in looking at the TEDx presentation you gave, which is available on YouTube and through your website as well. You said nobody wakes up in the morning and says, today I'd like to be wrong.
Yeah.
But how valuable are mistakes in getting along in the business world, or any pursuit for that matter?
Well, it's back to that fantasy is we believe that we're not going to make mistakes. And as I'm sure you know, it's the people that embrace their mistakes and learn from them and move forward are the ones that prosper. And organizations like Solready help you see a potential mistake before you make it. And that's the value of organizations like them, a value of mentors, value of coaches, is you can by another person's mistakes, you can learn before they do them.
So Jim is obviously the keynote speaker at the Southern Oregon Business Conference next Thursday, 1:30 to 5, in at the Commons in Medford. He's not going to talk for 3.5 hours.
No.
So what else do you have there? At least he didn't think so. Kathy Troutman, what else do you have there?
So our conference, our presenting sponsor is KeyBank, and they'll be bringing, again, a very, very popular speaker, Tim Dewey, PhD, University of Oregon professor.
He's been a guest here.
Mm-hmm. And he will deliver an economic address. And then we have, I spoke earlier about our Launch, Relocate, and Prosper, our theme for the conference. And so we'll have companies that have done all three. So we'll have our first speaker as a Chris Duncan from Alpaca Guitars. He's a launching business. He does an outdoor guitar. Very, very interesting. Dan Marshall, Bedslide, he relocated here recently. He'll be speaking on our panel. And then we'll have Stephen Lightman, CEO of Harry & David, will be speaking to the Prosper. So that should prove to be a very, very beneficial panel to listen to. And then, of course, we'll have a break, networking break. And then Jim Sorensen will wrap it up with his keynote address.
Is 3.5 hours enough time to light a fire into the business community?
I think so. I believe so. I think we can do it.
How many people usually attend the Southern Oregon Business Conference?
Usually there's 200 to 250. We want to go for more for the 250.
Mm-hmm. So, Jim, in the process of preparing for a talk to come to a region away from home and just talk about economic development generally, first of all, you have to do some research on the area, but just trying to keep up with trends in the business world for all you do, I just wonder if you're constantly researching.
I am, and people like Kathy make it easy. We do what's called an outcome call, and she really sat down, let me know your area. So she did a lot of the research for me, made it so much easier. And so anytime I go into any company, because I'm in all different parts of the world, I was just in, does that mean we're done?
No, we got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, I was in Saudi Arabia, and it was such a different environment. I had to do a lot of research, but since I live in the Northwest, Medford's not going to be that hard.
No, I can imagine. Okay, Jim Sorensen will be the keynote speaker at the Southern Oregon Business Conference next Thursday, the 28th of January, at the Inn at the Commons in Medford, starting at 1:30. Kathy Troutman is part of the organization that's putting it on. So Ready, she's the business development manager. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.